sit down, we got 2 minutes. Miss Ann, whenever you're ready, we're here. Amen. We're standing in the presence, in His presence on holy ground. We've gathered together to worship the Lord today. Welcome. So happy you're in God's house. Glad that you're here. And let's spend these next few minutes in worship. And let's begin with prayer, all right? Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless your name, for you are almighty, you are holy, you are worthy of worship. And thank you, Lord, for a church that has a heart for worship, heart for service, a heart for missions. And Lord, help us today to show our love toward you as we sing, as we listen to the word, and as we live out that word. And may we put feet and hands and effort into that word today as we serve you, as we speak a word of encouragement to someone, or do an act of love and kindness for someone in Jesus' name. Strengthen Joel as he brings your word to us today. Bless the choir and the ensemble as they sing. Bless the congregation as they pour out their praise to you as well. And we love you and thank you, Lord, for your word, and that's true. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we all stand together? This is relatively short. We'll just move right on in. Keep the singing going, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise.
Jesus, the King, the Prince of Peace, our 10:30 traditional worship. I have already met just tons of visitors. I mean, like a bunch of y'all I met out in the hallway trying to figure out where's the sanctuary. And of course, I know where the sanctuary is located. I took you right to the correct place. We're so glad you're here. All of you that are guests today, we're glad the Lord's led you to First Baptist Church. We have guest cards. One on the far right-hand side of your bulletin. It is a QR code. Hit it with your phone. Or in front of you there in the pew, we have these QR codes as well. Guest card. It'll take you to a guest card. You can fill it out, put as much information as you would like to give to us. Glad you're here. Really glad you're worshiping with us today. Take a few moments. Walk around. Welcome your friends.
Welcome.
Do this whole hymn, I'd get in trouble because I know this is some of our choir members' favorite hymn, or they enjoy singing it, which I enjoy it myself. But I really love the way Miss Ann kicks it off with her intro. So, Miss Ann, you do it again. Let's get going.
Take me the rain.
consider where we were without Christ and where we are now in Christ, how can we keep silent? How can we keep from singing and shouting the goodness of God? The gospel is so relevant in our lives. So you think about that as you sing through these next verses. Wonderful grace of Jesus, sing a song of freedom. All the hymns have been talking about freedom in Christ Jesus today. Makes you think Joel might be preaching on that today. Amazing grace, my chains are gone, I've been set free. And so that's what it's all about, life in Christ and the freedom that he gives from bondage over sin, bondage of death and the grave. All that has been broken through Christ Jesus the Lord. That's worth celebrating today.
I was lost, but now I'm found.
Praise the Lord. Our offertory hymn today is There is Power in the Blood. It's hymn number 329. So we'll remain seated on the first two stanzas. Stand on the last as we prepare to receive the morning offering.
Here today, and we just pray this morning for those today who are struggling with illness, struggling with family issues. We just pray that you would be with them and put your arms around them. And as we come to the portion of service now, when we can return just a little bit of what you've so graciously given to each one of us, we pray that you'd use these tithes and offerings to the furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Last Sunday night, we had a wonderful prayer event, great worship service, and talked about the tabernacle and basically, you know, how Jesus paid everything for us. And we entered into the Holy of Holies as we talked about the Ark of the Covenant and how that confession was made for the sins of the people. And at the end, after we sang Holy Ground, as the choir led us earlier, we sang, the ensemble sang for the first time this song, Trust in God. It's a powerful message. I hope that you'll be blessed by it today as we sing it. Had one lady in the early worship come up to me and tell me that she's been singing it all week. So it made an impact on her life, and it definitely has ours as we've learned it and as we sing it today. Let's worship the Lord together. The lyrics are up on the screen, and we don't mind if you sing along. So let's join together in worshiping the Lord.
Trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior.
Ensemble for singing to us the gospel. And that's where we are today in Romans chapter 7, verse 6. We'll eventually get there, but we talked about at the beginning of the year, we talked about wisdom and humility. We live in a foolish, arrogant world. And so the gospel teaches us about real wisdom, true wisdom, and real humility and true humility. Foolishness is and arrogance from the world, and the gospel teaches us so much more than just salvation, getting us to heaven. It teaches us how to have wisdom, how to have humility in the world that we lived in, that we live in. When we talked about prayer, we spent 3 weeks talking about prayer. Preaching the gospel to ourselves every single day. That is, pouring the gospel, the good news, in prayer. Prayer is more than just having this communication with God the Father, but it's pouring the gospel, the good news of the gospel, in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives, and just pouring that in every single day. So we've got 3 weeks before we get to Palm Sunday and Easter, which is hard to believe that it's that close. But we're going to pivot, and we're going to kind of work our way toward the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior and Lord Jesus. And we're going to do that by talking about freedom. The freedom that God gives to us called the gospel. And how we are free. We are free to live in the joy and light of the good news of the gospel. We're free to live in the darkness of sin. But we are free in Christ Jesus. The world that I live in this world that I live in, freedom is so misunderstood. And I said this morning in the early worship, I really want a better word, a more powerful word than freedom is misunderstood. But I don't want to get fired as the pastor of this church. So I'm going to try to be as nice as I can here. Freedom in our world is so misunderstood. That is the understatement of the year. Likewise, in the body of Christ, freedom then is misunderstood because many in the body of Christ believe or hold to a view of freedom that is more like the world's version of freedom than the biblical version of freedom. So you can see where we got troubles here. If you take the world's version of freedom and you apply it to the Bible, you've got a misunderstanding of what the gospel really is. And the freedom that you've been given, now let's be very clear today, today is not a political sermon, all right? Y'all know me better than that. I never, ever, ever preach politics. This is not a sermon where I'm talking about Americans versus communism or socialism. That's a whole other sermon for a politician. That's not for me. I'm just simply using that as an example to get us where we're trying to go, to get you to think about this word called freedom. According to the world, freedom then would be defined something like this. The world's version of freedom would say something like this: throwing off all restraints. I'm free. I can identify however I want to identify. I can be whatever I want to be. I can do whatever I want to do. I can say whatever I want to say. So the world's version of freedom is I can identify however I want to identify. I can be whatever I want to be. I can go wherever I want to go. I can do whatever I want to do. Whatever, quote unquote, it is. Truth is, you and I know that's not freedom. That's anarchy. But that's a sermon for a well-meaning politician to give, not me. I'm just trying to help us to see and use this as an example. So here's where I come in as the preacher. The world's perspective on freedom then, that botched up misunderstanding of freedom that the world has, that then creeps into the church. And when that then botched up version of freedom creeps into the church, well, we got problems, people. The Bible tells us that we are free. So Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "For freedom you have been set free." And you'll see freedom all over the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Philippians, especially the letter that Paul writes to the churches of Galatia. I mean, freedom is everywhere. And you can understand that if we take the world's definition then of freedom, and then we see it in the Bible, but we apply the world's definition to Scripture, we're going to have big problems. When we get to Easter, we need to know what freedom in Jesus really is. We need to have a clear biblical understanding of freedom so that we can exercise it correctly. So biblical freedom is not the freedom to throw off all of our restraints. Biblical freedom is not the freedom to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. Biblical freedom then is the freedom to do what the gospel gives us to do. Biblical freedom is being able to say, "Father, your world, your will, your divine guidance in my life, I live for you and the freedom that you give to me in the gospel." That's what biblical freedom is all about. On the other hand, many in the church, we've been doing this for 2,000 years, many in the church then have rebelled against that terrible misunderstanding from the world when it comes to this idea of freedom. So we don't want to be anything like that. We don't want to have anything to do with this misunderstanding of freedom. We want to know what Paul means when he says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. You are free to live for the gospel, light. You're free to live with joy and peace and grace." So many times we try so hard to get away from that botched up version that we find ourselves going to the opposite extreme, and the opposite extreme is legalism. There are so many forms of legalism, but the most prominent form arises when we make our own laws around God's laws. We make our own traditions and our own principles and our own perspectives and our own rules authoritative, as if those are God's word itself. And so that's a problem. That kind of legalism, though, is so incredibly attractive. It's so appealing to us sinners. We love that because it makes us look really spiritual. It looks like on the surface that we're very spiritual and that we're very saintly. And in reality, the truth of the matter is that legalism does more harm to you as an individual follower, because you're not following the beauty of the gospel. You're just simply following the rules better than everybody else. So it does more harm to you, and it does more harm in the body of Christ than it does good. Last Sunday I was making this point, and the reason that I was really making the point last Sunday, I actually don't know that I made it in this sermon. I think I just did it in the early worship. But then again, I don't know what I had for lunch yesterday, so maybe I remember that correctly, maybe I don't. But I remember in one of the worship services last Sunday, I kind of talked about this a little bit, but I was really just trying to set it up for this Sunday. And here's what I said. I said something like this. I said, do you know that there's only one group of people in the entire New Testament that Jesus condemned? One. Only one. Only one group of people that Jesus condemned. One. And y'all know who it was? It was the preachers. That's the only people he condemned. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, all of the religious leaders of the day that Jesus said, you have bound on your own people, my people, you have bound such heavy burdens and chains on them that they can't even get up off of the ground. They're so burdened with all of your rules and regulations. They're the only people that he condemned. And you realize that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians was just simply the Baptists, the Methodist, and the Church of Christ. Do you realize? That's all. That was their denominations. That's the way they named their denominations in that day and time. So that's the only people he condemned was the preachers, the religious leaders, who had put so... You have the bowl so clean on the outside, but the inside is filthy. Now the prostitutes and the tax collectors, oh my gosh, he did the exact opposite. The woman at the well, he said, my goodness, lady, you've had five husbands. The man you're now living with won't even give you his name. Man, she was the worst. And Jesus offered her living water. Jesus took her in, and Jesus gave her life. And then he said to her, now go and sin no more. What he was saying to her was, now go and live in the freedom of the gospel. You no longer have to live under the burden of sin. Go and live in this freedom that I've given to you. The tax collectors, Matthew was the worst. Nobody hated Matthew more than the Jews of the first century. And Jesus said, won't you come and follow me? Are you kidding me? So the worst sinners of all, Jesus took them in, and he loved them, and he cared for them, and he gave them life. The only ones that he condemned were the preachers, the religious leaders. So my question then is, and it's always been this for me, why is it that if the only one group of people that Jesus condemned, why is it that 2,000 years later we are still fighting legalism in the church? Why is that? How can that be? Does that make sense to you? Not any. Think about it. One thing, one group, people that Jesus condemned, and we run as hard and as fast as we can to be just like them. That makes no sense at all. You would have thought that after a couple of years in the church, the death, burial, and resurrection has happened, and the power of the Holy Spirit has fallen on the church, and you would have thought that there would have been a group of people, you know, spiritual guys like me, that would have said, y'all, we saw it with our own eyes, the only people he condemned were the Pharisees and the religious leaders and the Sadducees. That's the only people that he condemned, so let's just make sure that we don't do that. And yet 60 years later, Paul had to write to the churches of Galatia, you're free. They ran so fast to become just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Paul had to write letter after letter after letter to the church. And here we are 2,000 years later, and here we are running as fast to legalism that we can't hardly get there fast enough. Isn't that nuts? Do you know why? I've got the answer. It's called sin. Man, I know I'm not supposed to be a legalist, but it looks so good. Doesn't it? Doesn't it look good? Oh, it's so appealing. It's so attractive because we're sinners. Our default position is to always fall back on being a legalist. It looks so good, so powerful, so strong. Oh, he's the best. She's the greatest. Oh, it looks so appealing. So the question that we're going to try to answer over these next couple of weeks is, how do we not misunderstand freedom in Christ for the world's botched up version, what we know good and well is not true? We don't want to live like that because that's not freedom, that's anarchy. And then on the other hand, how do we not live for or go to the opposite extreme and become the very thing that Jesus condemned, which is legalism? And it just simply looks good. So that's what we're going to try to answer as we journey toward Easter. How do we not go to this extreme? How do we not go to this extreme? How do we really understand what the gospel gives, the good news? Why is it called good news? Well, I got eight quick things, and I mean real quick, eight quick things that the freedom that Jesus purchased called the gospel. First of all, it's freedom from the guilt of our sin. If I had a nickel for every time I said in a sermon, if I had a nickel, Janice and I could go back to Europe for a European vacation. But if I had a nickel for every time that I heard somebody say this to me, Joel, I know that I have been forgiven. God's forgiven me. I know that because that's what the Word says. But I just can't forgive myself. Boy, if I had a nickel. Man, if I had a nickel. And oftentimes I will look at those people and I will say, well, then you don't really understand the Scripture, do you? You don't really understand the gospel. You don't know what Jesus purchased and bought for you at the cross. Do you know how beautiful that is, church? Think about it. When I die from this life, when I die, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. But while I am here, I am as guilty as anybody has ever been guilty. There is nobody guiltier than me. And the gospel says not only will you go to heaven when you die, Joel, but the gospel also says, and while you are here, you do not have to wallow in the mire and the muck of your guilt, even though you're as guilty could be. You're free, Joel. Man, church, how beautiful is this gospel? Not only are we free from the guilt of our sin, but we're free from the condemnation of our sin. We're free from the wrath of God. We're free from the curse of the law. We're free from the bondage of Satan. We're free from the dominion and power of sin. We're free from everlasting death. We're free from the ceremonial law. So when we see all that Jesus has purchased for us in the gospel and all the freedom that we now have because of Jesus, we realize just how great this gospel really is. Free from guilt, condemnation, wrath, curse, bondage, dominion, everlasting death, ceremonial law. We're free from all of that because of Jesus. And it's called the gospel, church. The book of Exodus tells us that the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery. Just as Israel was in slavery to Egypt, so we are in slavery to sin. What Pharaoh was to Israel, Satan is to sinners. Paul said, once you were dead because you were disobedient and of your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. That is to say, in sin, you have no choice but to be in slavery and bondage. But thanks be to God, the gospel. But thanks be to God, He did not leave us in our sinful nature. In our verse for today, Romans 7, verse 6, Paul writes to the church at Rome, but now we have been released from the law, for we died to it. We're no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God. Now, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, of being a legalist. No. But in a new way of living according to the Spirit. And there it is, church. There it is. But now. But now God releases us from the bondage of sin and the curse of the law so that we can live in the freedom that He gives. Paul then writes, what then should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Paul says, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you now live under the freedom of God's grace. And that's the whole point. He has freed us so that we might live for Him instead of living under the chains of and slavery of sin. So you are free. You are free today to live for the gospel. Light, joy, peace, patience, grace, love. You're free to live like that. Isn't that awesome? That is so good. You're also free to live under the bondage and slavery of darkness and evil and revenge and anger and hatred. You know, like the world that we live in. You're free to live like that too. Ulcers. Church, you are free. Choose wisely. I got one last quote, and I've got just a moment to quote it, but I got to tell you a story to get to the quote. Thursday, 4:30, in my office, and I get a phone call. Now, do you have people in your contact? I said this a couple of Wednesday nights ago. For those of you that come to Wednesday nights, you'll remember me saying something like this. Y'all have people in your contact list that when they call you, you look at who the person is, and you have to think ahead. All right, do I have an hour and a half? Do I have an hour and a half to talk? If you've got an hour and a half, then you can take the call. Well, I have people like that in my contact list. This guy didn't used to be that contact guy. But all of a sudden, over the past couple of months, he calls me every day. Almost every day. If it's not every day, it's almost every day. And that's so weird and so unusual, so not like him. And so he just would chit-chat, you know, and I'm not a chit-chat guy. If you call me and you've got something that you need to deal with, we'll talk all day long. But I'm not, how you doing? How's the family? What's going on? I'm not that guy. I don't just talk on the phone. You know, some of y'all do, and that's fine. I mean, that's okay. It's who you are. That's just not me. And so he's calling me. And I know something else is really going on with him. And the reason I know this is because I'm such a deep spiritual person and can counselor. I just know these things are going on. And so I know something's going on, but he won't tell me. And I'm not pushing it. So I look down and it's 4:30 and I know, oh no, I got to meet Janice at 5 because Janice and I have a new Thursday night routine. Our new Thursday night routine is to go to Buffalo Wild Wings and so that's our new Thursday night routine. So I got to meet Janice at 5 and it's at 4:30 and I still got things I got to do before I can wrap all this up and meet Janice and go get our All-American Smash Burger at Buffalo Wild Wings. I got important things to do. I mean, I like being spiritual and all Christian and all to people, but my goodness, nothing comes in front of the, an All-American Smash Burger at Wild Wings. So I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm just going to tell him, all right, I got to go. So I take the phone call. Hey, man, what's up? And out of nowhere, just the whole thing just comes out. Not, hey man, how you doing? Let me tell you what's going on. Just, I mean, blankety blank this, blankety blank black. I mean, I'm sitting there, you know, saying, hey man, I'm an ordained minister. You can't say those kind of things to me. Well, I blankety blank, you ain't no blankety. It's all coming out. And I'm like, man, that's tough. I don't know what to say. And I happened to look down, and on my desk was my sermon. But I hadn't put it together quite yet. And all that I could see of my sermon was this quote. And if you know what he was saying, which I can't tell you, then you would know how great this quote is. So this isn't me. This is just a quote that I've got for today. So I said, I'm going to give you this quote from my sermon, which I then had to listen. What do you mean? I've just unloaded all this on you. You're going to tell me about your sermon? I said, no, just shut up. Give me a moment, man. Just hush. Let me just quote this quote to you. J.V. Fresco. When we stand before the throne of God, stained by sin, burdened with guilt, and having the wrath of God hanging over our heads, and I added this part, tired and weary from being trapped in these death traps called bodies, God will speak words of grace to us. You no longer belong to what is evil, but you belong to what is good. I have bought you with the precious blood of my Son. He has saved you from sin and death and hell. My child, you are free. Nothing. The phone goes silent. And I could tell that he was crying. This guy's not a crier. This guy's a good cusser, but he's not a good crier. And he's just weeping. And when he finally pulled himself together enough, he just simply said, read that to me again. And I said, all right, I'm going to read it to you again, but I'm going to put your name in it. And let's just say for purposes for the sermon today that his name is Henry. Henry, you stand before the throne of God. You are stained by your sin, and you are burdened, obviously, with your guilt. You have the wrath of God hanging over your head, Henry, and you're tired, and you are weary from being trapped in this death trap called a body. But Henry, God speaks words of grace to you. You no longer belong to what is evil. You belong to what is good. Because I have bought you, Henry, with the precious blood of my Son. And he has saved you. He has saved you from sin and death and hell. Henry, you are free. Church, that's what Jesus purchased and bought at the gospel. You're free. You're free to live in the light of the gospel. You are free to live in the joy of Jesus. But we're also free to live in the darkness of sin. But church, you are free. Father, thank you for that. I needed that today. Every now and then, I need to know all of the beauty of the gospel and the freedom that comes in living for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that. If there's anybody that's here today, Father, that's never trusted you as Savior and Lord, they've never repented of their sin and trusted Jesus, then it is our prayer today, because they are bound in their sin, and our word today is you can be free from that. But it's only in Jesus. So they've heard the gospel proclaimed. For those of us who know the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, may that gospel just be deeper in our hearts and our minds and our lives. May we know the truth, the freedom that has been given to us in Jesus, and live free. Thank you for that. Good word to us today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Obviously, this is a great, great song to sing for an invitation. My chains are gone. So if you've never trusted Jesus, come. We encourage you to do that. If you want to join our church, come and pray. Whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing.
Blood and rest.
my God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Real quickly, be seated. Will, do you have those pictures that we need to show? Today, in our early worship, Keith and Kay Swisher. Most of you know Keith and Kay. They've been around here for a long time, moved up, retired and moved up up around Terry and Ann. They've been going to First Baptist Geraldine. And so all of their family started coming to First Baptist. And so the more family they got here at First Baptist, the more they wanted to be with their family. So they started coming, being a part of First Baptist Church. And so they came today, know of Christ as Savior and Lord, followed in believers' baptism, but coming to say they want to make First Baptist Church their home. So the next time you see Keith and Kay, encourage them as they come to First Baptist Church, all right? And then the Paytons. So that is Porter and Tara. And Porter and Tara came today saying they know Christ as their Savior and Lord, followed in believers' baptism, and they want to make First Baptist Church their home. So make sure that you say they've got three beautiful little children, two boys, one girl, and make sure that you say a word of encouragement to Porter and to Tara as they come to be a part of First Baptist Church. All right, so what else do we have? We got Ken.
Yeah, we got an organizational meeting for the Handbell Choir today, right inside the choir room at 2 o'clock.
All right, and then we've got our men's breakfast Saturday, so if you need information about that, call Elliot Rowe. He'll give you that information, all right, what else we got? And when Irish eyes are smiling, our next mature adult event, March the 12th in the Fellowship Hall at 5 p.m., sign up on the Old Lord's Supper table, so sign up and be a part of that, all right? And we got Family Work Day coming March the 16th. Contact Micah Gilmore, our children's minister, for that, cleaning up and helping clean up the Baptist Retreat Center, all right? All right, and we're going to stand and close by singing My Chains Are Gone. Please stand up.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my